Once again, we turn to the last chapter of the book of John, the 21st chapter of John. In our last two studies, we looked first at the way our great Lord had once again revealed himself to his apostles. He did it lovingly. He did it patiently, without rebuking them for their unbelief. Remember, they were arguing about who it was that was going to deny the Lord, who it was that was going to betray him. Yet our Lord, in love and in kindness, treated them that very way. That's exactly the way he comes teaching every one of his children, letting us know that it was he who died on that cross for our sins. It is he who walked perfectly in our stead for our righteousness. Our God knows our infirmities. He's not one who sits up on a throne and doesn't have any idea of what the people who serve him are like. We have so many in our country that run this country today who have no idea what the small, what the servants go through. All they know is their little world. Our Lord knows everything. He knows our infirmities. He has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He thirsted as we do. He hungered as we do. He cried. He laughed. He sang hymns. Our Lord is 100% man and 100% God. After revealing himself through the miracle of the fish, the Lord took the bread and fish which he had prepared and he gave it to them. Henry Mahan wrote this. He says, "It is so important to observe that the banquet of mercy is provided and served to hungry sinners by the blessed Lord Jesus Christ himself." Think of Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What wonderful words. Folks, Christ himself is the fountain of all grace and the source of all mercy. John Flavel wrote this. He says that all spiritual blessings are in and through Christ. Those blessings are ours by a living union with him. That union with Christ is through faith, and faith is the gift of God and comes by the hearing of the word. Today we will spend our time considering the last verses of this book. Read with me, if you will, verses 18 through 24. "Verily, verily, says our Lord, I say unto thee." This is a good place for one who stands in a pulpit to say, "Thus saith the Lord." "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young," he's speaking to Peter. He had just asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And he asked him three times, and Peter finally said, "Lord, you know all things." And the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." And then he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said unto him, "He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." Peter seems to be a little quick, doesn't he? A little quick to throw a claim or two out, doesn't he? a little quick to speak, open his mouth sometimes and insert his foot. Sounds a little bit like me. Sounds a little bit like many of us, doesn't it? Verse 19 leaves no question as to what the Lord is saying in verse 18. Once again, I quote from Henry Mahan, Peter, as all the apostles except John, who was exiled to Patmos, would die a martyr. The Lord tells him by what death he would glorify God, crucifixion. It says, when you were young, you freely dressed yourself and traveled where you would in freedom, but you will live to be an old man, preaching the gospel of God's grace and feeding the sheep of Christ. And then you will be bound as a prisoner, stretch forth your hands on a cross, and they will take you to a shameful, cruel death. Where thou wouldest not means not that Peter would be unwilling to die for Christ, but that this type of death is disagreeable to the flesh. Our Lord glorified the Father in death, as we read in John 13:31, where it says this, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. And the disciples would also glorify our Lord in their deaths. We read in 2 Peter 1:14, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus hath showed me. That's speaking of the death that we just read about. Have you ever thought about how all the apostles died? Henry Mahan gives this report from Fox's Book of Martyrs. Peter was crucified in Rome. James, the less, at age 94, was stoned and beaten to death, as you know. John was exiled to Patmos. Andrew was crucified. Philip was stoned and then crucified. Thomas was killed with a spear. Bartholomew was beaten and then crucified. Matthew was slain with a halberd. James the Great was beheaded. Simon Zelotes was crucified, and Jude was also crucified. Notice what our Lord said, don't worry about that, follow me. In other words, follow me in preaching the gospel and in death. Our Lord renewed the call he had given to Peter earlier. He said, come, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, if you recall. Peter looked over at John, the writer of this very book that we're reading from, who without calling his own name describes himself so as to leave no doubt as to who it was Peter had meant. He said, Lord, what shall John do? What shall John suffer? Am I to suffer these things alone? Am I to suffer these things that we go through in this world alone? We don't know the reason that Peter had asked this of Christ. Was he genuinely concerned for his friend John, or was it just curious about John's future service and his usefulness? I can picture myself asking those questions for that last reason. Oh, for the grace of God, there go I. Was he just thinking, if I am to be a prisoner and to die for the faith, should not John and the others suffer also? Am I the only one who shall bear the wrath of men for the glory of God? I don't know about you folks, but I am so thankful that our Lord takes these truths of what these men are, and he reminds me of what I am. He reminds me of the men who stand in the pulpits of God's churches all over the country, all over the world. They are just men as we are. We were talking about degrees in Friday night's Bible study. Jesus Christ is all I need. Lord, let me not seek more than anybody else. If it was good enough for my Lord to suffer the cross, should it not be good enough for us also? This world is nothing more than a little bit of grass, folks. We're going to be through this in no time, and then for eternity, we're going to be in heaven with our Lord and Savior. How thankful I am that the Lord takes these truths and shows me what I am, to show me that no man is above the effects of sin. We all stand before God with the same sinful flesh, having no righteousness of our own. How quickly John can forget this. And our Lord reminds us by even the great apostles were just men, saved by God's amazing grace. From the answer that our Lord gave to Peter, can we not determine that the question was improper for Peter to even ask it? Our Lord's command is, you follow me, had not registered fully with Peter yet. In John 21:22, the verse says, our Lord replies, and he carries a strong rebuke for Peter's curiosity, his friendly interest, his probing into secret matters, or whatever it is that motivated Peter's question. If it is my will for John to live, our Lord says, and not die until I return, of what concern is that to you? Quit worrying about what others are being used for. Think about what God is using us for. Think about what God is using me for. He'll take care of all the rest. Am I walking according to the Lord's will? Our Lord says, you follow me. While the body of Christ is made up of many members, and our one goal and purpose is to glorify our head, Jesus Christ, to preach his word, to feed his sheep, and to follow him, yet the work each member does, the gifts each member has, and the place each one occupies, and the suffering each one endures, are according to the will and purpose of God. We must be occupied with our own ministry, our own calling, our own faithfulness. And not be taken up with how, when, or where he is pleased to use others. There's no room for jealousy, envy, or self-seeking among the servants of our great King. In his infinite wisdom and according to his purpose, he calls and assigns each servant to his place and work. And that work is to be done willingly, diligently, and unto the Lord and for his glory. And then in verse 23 to 24, isn't it interesting that men, being what they are, seem ready and willing to misinterpret, misread, or misapply the word of God? You notice the rumor went forth among the brethren, and it remained for a long time. John would not die, but would remain until the second coming of the Lord Jesus. But John, who wrote this epistle, and we know that his testimony is correct, as it says in the words, he sets the record straight. The Lord did not say that John would not die. In answer to Peter's concern for what place John would serve and what death John would die, the Lord said, if it is my will for John to live until I come and never die, that is of no concern to you. Your business is to follow me and fulfill my purpose and leave the matter of John to what I am pleased to do with him. I'm going to close with one more quote from Henry Mahan. In verse 25, we read this. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And Henry Mahan, he writes this about that. He says, we must never imagine that all that our Savior did and said are recorded in this book, or any other book for that matter. If all the miracles he did, sermons he preached, works he performed, and words that he spoke had been written in books, the world itself could not contain the books that must be written. For he is from everlasting to everlasting. However, God has been pleased to have written all that is necessary, all that is needful for us to know concerning the persons and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may know him, believe him, and be brought to eternal life through his word. End of quote. These are strong lessons for us to read through and accept. But these are lessons that our Lord gives to us. Many things in this book I do not understand. I do not understand how I can fail at every one of these things my Lord gives me to do, and yet he has performed it perfectly for me. I know this because it's in his word. He says so. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, that's not just once in our lifetime. It's every moment of every day. God, give us the strength to continue keeping coming to our Lord and Savior. And sometimes in giving us that strength, we have to stub our toes with our own pride so that we can see how weak we truly are, don't we? Stand with me.